Greetings, everyone. Today is September 13th, 2021. This is Tukwila City Council Committee of Finance and Governance. My name is Zach Edon. I'm the chair, and I have my two awesome colleagues, Councilmember Kathy Holgerty and Councilmember Delestrinas Johnson. We have two agenda items, so they are both only discussions only. We have A1 and AB. So we'll go first one. It's an update, neighborhood traffic calming program. Who from the staff is presenting?
Councilmember Edon, that's going to be me, Cindy Knighton with the Public Works Department.
Hello, Cindy. Take it away. Good to see you.
Okay. Well, I am trying to make sure I have audio issues, and my computer has been challenging all day. So if something happens, let me apologize in advance. So good evening, council members. 2 weeks ago, we presented this information memo, and it's information and discussion to the Transportation Committee, and we were requested to share the same kind of presentation before Finance and Governance this evening. It kind of overlaps the two committees quite nicely in that the traffic calming aspect definitely under transportation, but this is partially an update on what we've been doing with the traffic calming, but also just as a discussion of if some funding were restored, what could we do with it? So with that, I'm just going to briefly talk about the program, and I'll let you lead me on how much detail you want to hear and if you have any specific questions. So as I think most of the council members here are aware, we did adopt a neighborhood traffic calming program in 2018, and staff has been doing implementation on it throughout the city. But with COVID, we ended up losing all of our finances or all of the funding for this program in 2020, and we currently don't have programming funded this year or for the next 6 years. And this is just as a response to some of the funding challenges that we had. We're still finishing up a few of the programs that we did start, but we're not starting any new programs at this time. But we had 22 requests when we first initiated this traffic calming program as adopted by policy by the council, and we still get requests in. As a matter of fact, over the last couple of weeks, I've had two more requests come in via our webpage. So we're doing what we can. We have been able to accomplish some stuff, like the 53rd Avenue project, where we had an opportunity to take advantage of our overlay program and a very willing contractor who gave us a terrific price on widening back out 53rd from 137th down to 52nd, which had been something on our target to do next year. We're able to do that because of that using overlay funding, but we haven't started anything new since then. So we sat down and said, look, if we have some federal money, if some of this ARPA money were to be allocated to the traffic calming program or other funding were to be allocated back either this year or next year, what would we do? What would we recommend to the council that we could be most effective in the use of our funds? And so sat down between myself, Scott Bates, who I think you all know, as well as our new traffic engineer, Mohammed Musa, and kind of discussed what could we accomplish with this program. We went through our list of all of our requests that have come in, started kind of identifying, well, here's some general areas that we're receiving a lot of requests on. And that is what you see on the attachment, this top 10 MPCP priority list that is attached on your page 5. So we targeted 10 because it's a good round number. We're not saying that there aren't more needs that are out there, but just for a top 10, we developed these particular programs that could be done, gave some very rough cost estimates on what it would take to accomplish what we've kind of envisioned. And just to give just some financial background on this out there. So this top 10 list, and then of course the complimentary map, which yours actually worked properly. The ones that went out to transportation, something happened and the map didn't show the actual locations, but I'm pleased to see this one stayed the same. You can see that the areas that we are targeting in that top 10 list are pretty diversely spread across the city. We don't have anything up on McMicken. We don't have anything down in South Center, but McMicken area has had some previous stuff done in the not too distant past. So just for some just overall geographic equity, which did factor in as we were discussing, are this top 10 list. So is it the committee's pleasure for me to kind of talk briefly on these top 10 lists? You want to have just general questions? I'm not sure how much detail you want and how much time you want to spend on your next topic.
I have some quick questions, but feel free, Council Member Hogarty, Council Member Delsino Johnson, if there is, if you want to continue asking questions or if there's an area that you want to think need to focus on.
Am I starting?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, I don't need to go through each one because we've got an hour and 15 minute meeting, but I did want to make some overall comments. One is I see that the total is $266,000 to $538,000, depending on what details. And what was, I'm just going to say, was swept from the fund, right? Was it $400,000? Was that how much it was?
We had originally had $400,000 per year, and that is for traffic calming as well as other safety-type projects. Mm-hmm. It's the neighborhood traffic calming and residential safety is what the CIP sheet is. So it isn't just for traffic calming. We have used that funding to address residential safety. But yes, originally when this program was created and funded, the first year it was funded was in the 2019-2020 budget. It was $400,000 a year.
Okay. So this, of course, informs our next discussion, which is is restoration services. And I'm in support of this because of just the safety issues that are there. We have several school safety improvements, including the charter schools don't even, it looks like here, they don't even have any signage at all that says anything about school safety zones or anything, as well as safety that's identified at the three schools. And we know that this is a real quality of life issue for all of our residents. They've been saying that. So I'm in support of this. I don't really need to have a lot of details. We've gone through this, I think, before, what they are. So those are my comments.
For clarification, Councilmember Hogarty, the Impact School does have a school zone on the south side of it, but they've recently expanded to the north side of their property, and so we definitely want to look at the street that borders the north side of their property and put in some signage there. But we have put in some, but we would like a little more improvement on the south side on 148.
Well, and looking just at the high level of this, this allows us to improve safety at all of our schools.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And that's all I'm in support.
Councilmember Delastino Johnson.
Thank you, Cindy, for putting together all of this information. It's really great to see the potential of projects in our community and just to see how wide-ranging they are, really touching all areas. I personally was contacted about the Ryan Way crosswalk because there is no crosswalk for the neighborhood. I know there's a neighborhood over there, and to cross the street to get to the bus stop is really unsafe. So I was happy to see it on the list. I think my main questions go to more of like the next discussion. Because I do believe this whole program is really important, especially all these safety projects. So I don't really have any questions for you. I think you did a good job putting all the information together with us. I think it helps inform the next discussion we're going to have about how we can fund all of these projects. But thank you.
That was kind of our intent. So thank you.
Yeah, so same here, Cindy. Thank you for putting this together. I was in the committee when this initially was implemented. We spent a lot of time. I remember that. I supported then. Also, there is some historical context that, around this and how it was misused and all that stuff. I supported then, I totally support now, and I'm glad that there is some focus area like identifying certain projects. I wanted to ask you, when we were putting this, I recall that the way that this was, the $400,000 was going to come from, I think there was some sort of an agreement with waste management, and then there was some savings. Do you recall those discussions and how, we put that ordinance that we put together that's safety related, it was specifically for that. So some of those funding could go to traffic calming.
Yes. Our finance director, Vicki Carlson, talked to a little bit in more detail, but this was done at a similar time where the waste management issue and some of the revenue from that could be used for transportation. My understanding is that a good portion of that is currently being allocated towards the 42nd Avenue Bridge Replacement Project. So I don't know if that there's been like that peanut butter approach with that waste management fees that have been coming in, or if we're trying to target where we're best to expend that. And I see that Carlson is also available here.
Yeah, so Vicki Carlson, Finance Director. If I could just address the waste management solid waste tax. You are correct. That was initially through ordinance put towards roadway safety, road project, road maintenance. Because of the impacts of COVID to our budget, when the budget was drafted for 21 and 22, those funds were put into our arterial street funds and directed to the 42nd Street project, as well as another project. So any additional funds that come in above what we budgeted could possibly be available for this type of project. But we also need to keep in mind that we have other projects going on that need funding available. So right now, the solid waste tax is in a different fund. So it would take council action to move it back into this fund for other projects.
Yeah, I was just curious. Thank you both for elaborating that. I don't have any other questions. You can stay put and while we talk, the next phase of the agenda, which probably would definitely relate to some of this stuff. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Okay, so let's go into 1B. The restoration, actually it's funding for phase two prioritization for the American Rescue Plan Act funds. I assume that's you, Vicki.
Yes, thank you. So just as a reminder, this is a discussion that has been in this committee now for several sessions. The city is going to receive $5.78 million in federal assistance. The funds need to be either fully spent or committed by the end of 2024 and can be used for a variety of projects that are related to the impacts of COVID. So assistance to households and businesses responding to the impacts of COVID. So rental assistance, utility assistance, returning services that were reduced because of the impacts of COVID, certain investments in infrastructure, including some broadband work. So we have put together a proposal as a starting point for discussion that is on page 14 of the packet, and it outlines a plan where you can get to spending the full $5.7 million with a about a $200,000 cushion. Again, this is just a plan only to begin the discussion. You began the discussion the last committee meeting to go through each one of these items and what your thoughts were. And just as a reminder, what we'd be looking for is not a commitment for the full 5.7 at this point. We're really looking for a good solid plan for 2021 and 2022 that will be included in the budget amendment. And then any further discussion we will have, be beginning the budget process early next year. And so there will be plenty of time to discuss how to add other projects to this list or how to spend the money in the out years, which would be 23 and 2024. So with that, I'll turn it over to you to continue your discussion.
Well, thank you, Ms. Carlson, Director Carlson. All right, so let's, I'll go with Kathy, Councilmember Kathy Hogarty. I think where we left off, I was going to get into, I think that there was a whole lot of things that we agreed, and there were maybe two things. We requested that we needed a check back in. I recall the score. We wanted more details on that. Is there anyone from the staff that can speak to that? And then so, other ones?
Yeah, so what we would like to do is ask for a placeholder for that. SCORE right now is working on their own internal funding to truly identify what their needs are. As an owner city, it looks like we may be asked for up to $150,000. But we've also asked them on the finance committee, which is the finance directors from all of the owner cities, have asked SCORE to go back and really do a deep dive into their own finances prior to coming to the owner cities. So they're doing that step right now. Once they complete that analysis and know what the true ask is going to be, we will have somebody come to the full council with a presentation on what their needs are and why. So it's not ready yet. We're asking SCORE to do their homework first.
Sounds good. Thank you, Director Carlson. So the other item was the traffic calming, and we just first item we discussed in the meeting is related to that program. So I think we went through the list, and so maybe if we if there are other general questions and different discussions, feel free to chime in. I think we do have ample time to discuss this. So with that said, I'll go to Councilmember Holger.
Yeah, I was looking at my notes from the last couple of meetings, but I couldn't find one. I don't know that I have anything to add, really.
Okay. I think you're muted, Councilmember.
It always helps to have your microphone on. So I don't know that I have anything more to add from our previous discussions. I am ready for this to go to the full council. I think I've just described the things that I was concerned about. SCORE was one of them. As you can see, I am in support of the traffic calming program, but then I think I indicated that last time. So other than repeating what I've said before, I'm ready to move on. I don't have any additional questions. And the memo that we got didn't have any changes to it. So I'm good.
Sounds good. Thank you. Councilmember Delos Junas Johnson.
So I attended, I think it was a National League of Cities presentation. It was all around how to use ARPA funds to support affordable housing. And during the presentation, I heard from the presenters that the ARPA funding for particularly for historically disadvantaged communities, communities where there's a majority of people of color, many of the residents are low income, for these communities, there's a lot more flexibility about how to use the funds, because recognizing that COVID laid bare many of the disparities that already existed within these types of communities. And I'm pretty sure Tukwila falls within that category. And with that being said, you know, I didn't see that that was something that's put in the memo in terms of what the ARPA funds could be used for. And, you know, on that same vein, because we've had, what, like 2 weeks where we haven't been seeing each other, and I saw that presentation within the past 2 weeks. Last week, I went to a random, like, off-the-cuff meeting with some community members from the Ethiopian community who were having issues. A group of people from that community pulled together funds to buy a property in Tukwila, like behind SARS. And this was about a couple years ago. And they were explaining to me and some other community members who they invited that they haven't been able to develop that space into a community center, which is what their intention was. And there were some issues involved with the city and code enforcement and development and the police. And I don't know whether those individuals are going to come to council to explain what has happened, but I'm coming in. I came in at the like very end of it. I tell you that story just to say there are needs in our community that I would really love to see these funds to be used for, that could help resolve some of these issues of just what I see as the imbalance of power between some community groups and some groups who historically don't have the same resources or access to government or like permitting processes or rules or laws to be able to engage with our city or build things like community centers in our city that we could be using these funds for. So what I was thinking when I was meeting for them is, wouldn't it be great if we had someone working in our city who is specifically either in economic development or department of, or the, sorry, community development, who could work with community members or people from historically marginalized backgrounds to help them through these types of processes so that they could build or they could keep their small business here, somebody who could help assist them through that process, that these funds could be used for. I know this is like, this idea is totally out of like left field. I think he's like, come on, we've been planning this for a while, but what I guess right now with this that we have right in front of us, one, I would love to see or have more information about what the government is saying in terms of the flexibility of how to use these funds if we're from a historically disadvantaged community. So like, I would love to see that in the memo. And then number two, I'm comfortable moving. Well, I'll speak to just the traffic calming. I believe that the traffic calming program is really important for our community, but I don't think that use of the ARPA funds is the best way to fund traffic calming. And I'm wondering whether, because I know we moved some of the streamlined sales tax funding, we moved some of the things that we were going to fund with the SST funds into the ARPA funds, like community development, you know, bringing the parks department back up. Could that streamlined sales tax funding be used to support the traffic calming program? Could general fund monies that, you know, are restored that we didn't know before could that support the traffic calming program? I just don't feel comfortable using ARPA funds for this purpose, because I really truly believe that ARPA funds should be used for assisting those community members who were hardest hit by COVID. And traffic calming does impact everybody in the community, but I'm really thinking more specifically about things that address housing, things that address like economic development, community development, addressing affordable housing, addressing homelessness, those kind of issues should take precedence. And I'd be more comfortable if we set aside more funds to use and assign in the future than putting so much of it towards traffic calming right now. Sorry, that was very long. but I'm done with my comments. Thanks.
No, thank you. I think those are really great comments, and there were some things as you were speaking that I was thinking about. Director Carlson, is there a way to figure that out if there is some flexibility? And then maybe update the memo next time we talk, or that's something that you want to head on and address that now? Because I'm kind of curious around that.
Yes, of course. So I can start to address it tonight. We are working on budget amendments right now. There's going to be a lot of moving pieces with the budget amendment that will be coming forward to the Finance and Governance Committee first for review. There's the ARPA funds, there's the sales tax mitigation. There's some increase in some ongoing revenues. So there's a number of moving pieces. And what we're working to do right now is to pull all of these different requests together, see where the needs are and what funds we can use to pay for which services. So it'll all be part of that bigger picture. I can't answer the question tonight if sales tax mitigation could be used for traffic calming. Once we pull everything together, I'll be able to respond to that question. And we're working to pull it together as quickly as we can, but there's a lot of moving pieces with this particular budget amendment that's going to be coming forward.
Well, sounds good. How about the question around there is a flexibility around if you are a, more disadvantaged, I don't know what the other word was. I don't like that use that term. But anyways, if you're from a disadvantaged community or your city is there more flexibility around certain areas? I think one example is figuring out how to bring someone in to help those communities. And what I was thinking about as Cynthia was talking around this is personally, for the last couple of years, I have seen where certain folks will come in with their lawyers or their planners and go, that not necessarily go through the process faster, but they know and are better equipped, and some are not. And our staff do tremendous job on helping and processing that. But I think it would be better to figure out if certain communities, example that council member as soon as was talking about, there was an opportunity where a group of folks got together and they were trying to put together, but there were a lot of difficulties around implementing that. And not saying that it was due to any staff because of that, just trying to see if there is a way to address that that gap that I think exists in our community. For me, I think when traffic calming, I agree with Councilman Delacena Johnson in terms that I don't believe that I look forward to getting the whole package and seeing where there is an opportunity we could fund, but I think we have to figure out ways and means to figure out how do we use best for this fund, the ARPA fund, for especially getting someone in that to address issues around housing and figuring out how to better equip a community or community members that are trying to put together a community center or housing. So I don't think it's the best for this fund to pay for the traffic calming. But I do agree this, we need traffic calming, and I'm very supportive of all the projects that are there, but not just, ARPA funds. ARPA funds are supposed to be addressing related to folks that are either through impact of the COVID and other means that are described on the memo. So that's just kind of wraps my comments. Go ahead, Councilmember Hogarty.
Yeah, when you're done, I had some questions based on your comments.
So, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So the first question that I had was, it was my understanding that the ARPA funds were able to be used to restore certain services that were eliminated because of COVID. Is this true, Vicki?
That's correct, yes.
And so then traffic calming would be an example of that, right?
Yes, that is one example of a program that we did eliminate because of the impacts of COVID.
After school program, staffing, and those things.
Yes.
So what I'm hearing right now is, should we not restore the funds that were swept because of the COVID? And I'm just going to use traffic calming as an example. Or in favor of creating new services, or should we just restore old services, and just leave those things that no longer exist, or should we do this differently? And so then I was thinking, so does it have to be an or nothing, which of course it doesn't. But one of the things that we're discussing right now is having that balance of power, like you said, Cynthia, just be sort of to tilt that. And so a question that I would have that I'd like to see answered is, so where is increasing amounts of equity being woven into all of these projects that are here? For example, we're talking about a someone who could assist people in navigating the system for all sorts of stuff, like you said, Zach. You know, that you bring your lawyer in, and then it gets done. And if you don't have a lawyer, it's harder, and so on and so forth. So, is that under the DCD staff? Could part of that be under the economic development plan, business assistance? What are the places where we could weave that in? And actually, I was thinking about this last time, and I didn't. And I didn't mention it, but where is the equity component woven in? And that would, to all of these issues that are here, and I'd like to hear that. That's something I'd like for the next meeting. And then, or maybe it needs to be woven in. And so maybe we could restore business assistance, but then have, some directives go along with that. Restore, well, the economic development plan, make sure that those things that we are talking about or haven't talked about are woven into that as well. And so really we should have it in all of these, even traffic calming. How do you do that? I like the idea of being able to fund schools having increasing safety. So, so I'd like to just have that be overarching everything, and instead of giving it its own pocket. So, or maybe it needs to have its own pocket. I don't know. So those, but that's what I want to talk. That's what I'd like to talk about.
Yeah. So I don't know if Director Carlson, if you wanted to respond to a council member, I was going to offer some comments, but I'll let you, if you have comments, respond.
Yeah. I just want to comment that Councilmember Delsters Johnson has mentioned this a couple times in the past. And so my plan was, is the next generation of this memo where we provide additional updates, we would include that language because it's in there, but it's not as obvious as it should be. And so we can do a better job identifying that process in this memo.
Go ahead, Councilmember Delsimer Johnson.
I agree with Kathy. For sure. I agree with you, Kathy. I like your idea. And I think it is really important that, especially with these funds, equity has been a huge consideration in all of COVID, and it should be. And this is an opportunity for us to lead with that. in making decisions around the budget and how we're going to use these funds. So I love that idea, Kathy, and I'm glad you expanded equity beyond, you know, that small area that I was asking to be like, why aren't we talking about that with everything that we're doing? The second thing I'll say is one thing that's missing. We got a presentation from Naisha last meeting, and there was a request that she made, and I think I remembered us saying yes to it, and I didn't see it updated on this memo. So I just thought about that.
Yeah, that's correct. There was a couple of requested changes to this. So one of them was on the Community Connectors program. There was a budget request for $35,000. There was also some discussion on the utility and rental assistance, because the chart as it's currently written shows spending $500,000 this year. And when we talked to Stacey Hansen, it's clear we're not able to spend all of the funds in 1 year. And so what I was hoping to do is hear the rest of the discussion today and then amend the full project, the full project list based on both discussions. And so come back to say, based on everything I've heard, here's the revised plan, here's the different conversation points. And then that's what would go to the full council then for further discussion. When it would move to the full discussion, we would not be looking for formal approval until the budget amendment process. It would be incorporated into the budget, but at least direction that we're on the right path, that these are the programs you want to fund or not fund.
Are we late for the budget process? Because I know you said 2021, 2022. I'm like, are we the ones holding up and making everything late? Like, I don't want to.
No,
I'm concerned
not at all.
Okay.
Just strictly it's an off budget year for us because we do a biennial budget. So what we're looking at right now is budget amendments.
Okay.
And so we'll be amending both the 21 and the 22 budget based on what we know today that we didn't know back when the budget was drafted.
Perfect. And thank you so much, Vicki. Like, I really appreciate you and Zach and everybody else who's been guiding us through this process and the iterations of coming back and amending. I really appreciate your help.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, this is based on what Vicki was saying. Okay, so I'm looking through the list on, I don't know what page it is because I've got an old memo. Anyway, but it's the same about Parks and Rec staff, street staff, and then you get to SCORE. We need that information because I'm interested in the equity component of that, but I thought I heard that there's something woven into that one too. I'm going to use that phrase, woven into it. So I'm really curious as to when we're going to find that, because we've got a placeholder of $150,000, and when are we going to see that?
I can follow up with Director Shrum from SCORE to find out where they are in their process.
The sooner the better for us, because we're sort of holding it off. I've heard that there are good things, but I don't know what they are, so I want to hear what that is. So,
okay, I'll see what I can do to get that scheduled as quickly as possible.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Director Carlson, I would like to see next time when you come back to add a staff person that would help, with the disadvantaged the communities from the disadvantaged. We could talk about what the scope of that looks like and all that, but I think for purposes just adding a staff into that, into the chart. And I think, the kind of going back my question earlier on the first item of the agenda when we talked, the question that I asked Cynthia was around my recollection around traffic calming was coming from and the waste management revenue and now when we say this is something that was affected COVID, is it directly with COVID or is it because we moved that funding to another place? So not looking for an answer, but I think next time maybe it would be good to kind of understand how that dynamic happened and how we ended up where we are right now.
If it's okay, I think I could address that now. When we looked at the revenue losses we were incurring because of loss of sales tax revenue, loss of admission tax, gambling tax, et cetera, we looked for programs that we could cut, and that was one of them. It was just straight out, we had $400,000 budgeted, and it was a place to make a reduction that we tried to maintain as many of the high priority programs as possible and the ones that directly benefited the community the most. Obviously, some of the community programs we had to reduce because the community center was closed. So we had to stop, you know, all of our youth programs, our senior programs, et cetera. But we tried to reduce or eliminate the programs that had the least impact to our communities, knowing full well that any reduction we made was going to impact our communities negatively. But at some point, when you don't have the revenue, you have to make reductions. And that was one.
Thank you. I don't have any other questions or comments. This was the last item we're supposed to discuss. I assume there are no questions from my... So I see a hand from Laurel. Go ahead, Laura. Ms. Hankins.
Thanks. I just, for the purpose of the minutes, I want to clarify if you're ready to advance this to COW with the additional information requests, as Director Carlson mentioned, incorporating everything she's heard, or if you need another touch at committee, just for my reference. Thanks.
That's a great clarification. So my committee members, do we need to recommend to the COW, or shall we just have the way it is right now with the additions we discussed it tonight? I would be in favor of that. We recommend something to the committee of the whole and then have the discussion there, but let me know what your thoughts are around that. Go ahead, Kathy.
So if you look at the recommendations in the memo, it says information only at this time. So they're not asking for a recommendation. And I don't know that I don't know specifically what that recommendation would be, because we might churn a little bit longer. I think we all understand where each other's at, and I'm ready to start throwing some other opinions into the mix and see what happens. I think we're at that point. So we could recommend, we're saying the same thing, but we're saying it differently. And like, for example, the idea of adding a person that would help with disadvantaged people groups or communities. I like that, but do we need to add a person, or could we add a program that that everybody's got a responsibility for? So depending on your strength in your program, do you want to do it that way, or do we need to have a person to oversee it so it just doesn't disappear? And those are all, so I'm not quite ready to get into the detail, but I definitely think we could agree that we want to see, I like what you said, Cynthia, about trying to true up the balance of power, if you want to call it that, or using a different word, but a balance, and we want to see where that is in this particular set of restoration of priorities.
Go ahead, Councilmember Dustin.
I agree with Kathy, and maybe we have, of course, you're going to be the one to see it up, Zach. So you can explain that, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. You could explain that we're supportive of all of these. You know, these are the ones that we had questions about. You could say, like, some of us supported the traffic calming program. But we wanted to bring it to them because I do think that it should be a full, I think it's ready to have full council talking about it, as long as Vicky is comfortable and the staff is comfortable with it moving forward, as is with some of the ideas that we've suggested, updating the memo, but then having Zach, you explain to the rest of them where we sit on many of the recommendations.
Yeah, I'm happy to do so. And we can also, we can also do a recommendation. Just maybe, the staff someone does, but we're free, I think, and someone from the staff correct me. I think we can make a recommendation, but I'll go with both of you guys' suggestions. You know, I think last time I talked about some sort of an increase on the economic development plan, and you know what's shown there. I wanted more amount, and we can have those discussions there. But it sounds like it's consensus. Thank you for the question, Laura Humphrey, our council analyst. I don't think then we need to come back here. I think we need to go straight to find a space or time. I think, you know, we can have that discussion at the COW. Yes, go ahead, Laura.
I haven't discussed the timing with Ms. Carlson, but we're working through some lengthy agendas coming off the heels of the summer recess, and I know that their staff will need some time to incorporate everything, so I just want to say it's likely you won't see this on the next COW, but just know that it will be coming forward.
Yep. Thank you. That's fine. Right on. Are there any other items or miscellaneous? Are we ready to adjourn? Okay. I love this committee. All right. Thank you, everybody. See you guys at 7.
Thank you.